This morning, I don't know about you, but I mean, this week, I felt like I've been kind of chasing my tail all week. And as a matter of fact, when Dan and Jesse were coming in, they said, "How are you doing?" I said, "I've been chasing my tail," and I kind of did this. And, you know, I had to tell them again, I really don't get out much. But this morning, we're continuing our series on praying Jesus' prayer book, on looking at Psalms that Jesus prayed and taught and spoke. And this usually isn't something, I've never heard a sermon series on it actually before, even though there's so much material on it in Scripture. And two Sundays ago, we looked at Jesus and the disciples at the Last Supper and how he used Psalm 41 to describe how he would be betrayed. And then after that, last Sunday, we looked at Psalm 118 especially, but Psalm 113 through 118, where it says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." And we understood from looking at that that was from the Hallel, which Jews at that time would pray, and they continue to this day to pray at the end of the Passover, but throughout the Passover meal, and then specifically Psalm 118 toward the end of the Passover meal. So today we're basically going in sequence out of the Last Supper into the Garden of Gethsemane. And today we're going to look at a psalm that Jesus uses there. So to set this up, let's first go to the Gospel of Mark. Here we go. "They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' He took Peter and James and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death,' he said to them. 'Stay here and keep watch.' Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him. 'Abba, Father,' he said, 'everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me.'" By the way, take note of that, would you? Think about that, that Jesus actually prayed, "Father, is there any other way?" I think it's important for us to see that, to understand how human Jesus is, fully human, fully divine. But it helps us to see how real Jesus is. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." And then he returned to his disciples and found them what? Wanted to make sure you weren't. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Sit here. Watch and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more, he went away and prayed the same thing. And then he came back. He found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting?" Now, that could come back to you at any point during this sermon. Okay. "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." The Gospel of Mark was written by John Mark, who was the son of a widow in Jerusalem. We learn in Acts 12:12. The early church used to meet in her home. And Mark is recording, in all likelihood, the eyewitnesses' accounts of Peter's life with Jesus. And we see that as we read through here. Peter and James and John are all in this scene, but basically all of the interaction is directed toward Peter. And Peter had a big meal and some wine, and it was late, and he was getting tired, and he really didn't understand what was happening until later. We find out from Mark that the first thing Jesus said to them was, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." And that's a reflection on this psalm. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you. It makes sense that Jesus would go back to that psalm that night. Psalm 42 points to God in the middle of sorrow. Twice it says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God." What this shows us is a window into Jesus' mind and heart. Jesus is under intense pressure at that moment. And maybe it's a comfort to him to be going through this in his mind. But we will see this. The closer Jesus gets to the cross, the clearer it becomes that he is actually praying the Psalms. Next Sunday, we'll be looking at Psalm 22, where Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" I encourage you, go home and read Psalm 22 this week, because it is an amazing psalm of messianic prophecy, prophecy that tells us about Jesus. Peter was close enough so that he could hear what Jesus was saying. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." You know, I love that prayer as one of the most exemplary prayers, if not the most exemplary prayer in all of Scripture. Because it shows us Jesus' complete devotion to God. And this sets up for us a way to pray that we really need. I know, speaking for myself, I need to pray this way. There are so many times where I look at my own heart and it's not right. And there are things where God is working with me, and I know, you know, He gives me a glimpse. Man, I can grow here. And it helps to pray, "Lord, help me to want what you want, not what I will, you know. It's not all about me. Lord, your way in my life. I'm all in. Help me to be all in for that." You know, preachers are usually hard on the disciples at this point in the story. And they're an easy target, I admit. I mean, you know, the whole account, though, gives us this poignant behind-the-scenes insight into what an authentic and faithful believer Peter was after the fact. Of course, we know that right after Jesus prayed that incredible prayer, what did Peter do? He fell asleep. And why do we know that? Because Mark tells us, and why does Mark tell us? Because Peter told Mark. Think about that. Imagine what it would be like to hear him tell that story to Mark. We were in the garden that night, and Jesus was praying. And he asked us to pray with him. And he was under incredible pressure. I mean, he knew what he would be going through. I mean, I didn't really get it at that moment, but he knew. Man, if I had only... I mean, I fell asleep. You see, what's happening is that Peter is being real about how he messed up. That's how we got this story to begin with. And that's important for us to see. You know, perhaps Peter, in telling this, is passing on a lesson to young John Mark, telling him, I mean, this is a direct quote from Jesus. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, usually, sad to say, we misquote that passage. Why? Because we quote the last part. I think about a guy that my sister dated once in college, and he became so inappropriate that night, she had to walk home. And this was a Christian college, and he's, you know, kind of a spiritual guy, and that's what he says to her the next day. Oh, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's a cop-out, because that's not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus isn't saying, oh, yeah, so go ahead, guys. Here, have a pillow. See, we quote it in the wrong context of life when we quote it. What Jesus is saying here is watch and pray. What are the next two words? Okay, I'm going to say that again, but I want to ask, I want you to respond a little louder. Watch and pray so that, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Do you see that connection? It's important. It is important to make that connection. Because what this implies is that when you and I are in the middle of temptation, and there's not a sin in being tempted, we often hear, yeah, okay. Oh, what Jesus is saying is, you will not fall into temptation. Well, sometimes we kind of allow ourselves to get tempted too, don't we? So, I mean, there's some wiggle room there. But when we know we are being tempted, what are we to do? Watch. What are we watching for? The help that God alone can give. Watch and pray. So what we're doing is we're welcoming the presence of Jesus into the moment. And it is a lot harder to sin directly in that moment when you realize that Jesus is right there. When you've welcomed God into that moment. Because what happens is it brings out the betrayal of our actions all the more, doesn't it? And that's important to point out because that is what is happening in this text behind the scenes. That's what's happening with Peter. Man, I blew it that night. And this is what I should have learned out of that. I mean, it's interesting as you read on, you know, Peter and John and James didn't watch and pray that night. They just went back to sleep. It's really interesting the way it says, when he came back, he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So in other words, there was a physical manifestation. It's not just, yeah, we were sleeping, it was our eyes were heavy. So in other words, Jesus comes back and we're like, so again, you see how this is an eyewitness account. Jesus catches them rubbing their eyes, and they're talking about it later among themselves. And, you know, I didn't know what to say, John. I didn't know what to say. I mean, it was obvious. And Jesus comes back. Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. And that was it. I mean, think about that for a moment for Peter. That was it. That was the last moment that he was with Jesus before he went to the cross. Well, there was that other moment where Peter was at a distance. But you know, Peter remembered what Jesus said that night, and you can imagine how he must have felt when he heard Psalm 32. My soul is downcast within me. And it took him right back there. And both Mark and Luke tell us Peter's response after the fact that night. Peter broke down and wept, and he went out after he denied him. He went out and wept bitterly. And that, dear ones, is the story behind our story. Which is our takeaway? Just this. Peter is weighing the impact of his actions on his friendship with Jesus. And he's telling Mark about it. In other words, Peter's dealing with Jesus like you would deal with any friend. You know, you think about if you're in a relationship with someone, the consequences of your actions on their feelings. You want to be tender-hearted toward those you love and care about. And I think Peter's going over this in his head, and he's thinking, you know, I mean, that night, it was the last night we were with Jesus, and not once, not twice, three times. Yeah, I mean, he comes back, he's downcast, he's down, and it's three times. And we're just asleep. Peter was thinking about how his actions made Jesus feel in the moment. It's what friends do. You know, Jesus said, you are my friends if you do what I command, John 15:14. And specifically in that moment, he was talking about loving others and serving them. And the same applies to him, doesn't it? You know, am I loving him? Am I serving him? Just as I go through the day, am I mindful of that? Am I watching and praying so that I will not fall into temptation? Am I sensitive in my spirit to the one who said, I'm with you always. I'll never leave you. The one who sees everything. And I read this and it makes me want to be real with him, more tender-hearted. How about you? May we pray.
Lord, we thank you that you really care for us. That you really love us and you want us to really love you. We thank you for everything you endured for us that night, that next day. It's hard for us to understand it all. But all we do believe, and where we struggle with our faith, Lord, would you help us? Would you help us to be a better friend to you? Would you help us to be more sensitive, to have more faith, to be able to know that you are in the moment, to know that you are right there? Lord, thank you that there is nothing better than knowing you, than living with you, than you. Oh, Father, we praise you for your Son, Holy Spirit. Thank you. You are Jesus' presence with us right now. Help us never to grieve you. And when we do, Lord, quickly, please bring us back. Remind us, Lord, in that place of prayer, Lord, help us to just call out to you and declare our dependence on you as we go through the day. Maybe this morning you've never done that. Maybe this morning you've never said, yeah, I do believe Jesus died on the cross. Maybe God has shown you this morning in a way that you've never seen before, and you want to come closer. Oh, please take that step. Tell him, yes, Lord, I do believe. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And I receive you right now. And everything you've done for me. And Lord, I'm tired of living for myself. I want to live with you and somehow for you. Oh, help me to do that. I receive you right now. As we pray a prayer like that, we will discover that there is no friend who is better than Jesus. Lord, we praise you that you are faithful. We praise you that you are strong. We praise you that you loved us first. And that nothing can take us away from you. Lord, thank you for your perfect love. We worship you. In your name, amen.